Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined by anybody. Nobody wanted to talk to me after one of the most exciting... No, I'm kidding. It's on games that happen on Mondays and Wednesdays. Those are just kind of tough because the Lakers play so late for me to find guests. So you guys are stuck with me for this show. I promise I'm going to keep this as entertaining and lighthearted as I can possibly do, given how insanely tough a loss that was to take to the San Antonio Spurs. But there are still things to... There are still positive things to glean from that, even with the center situation being in such dire straits that a two-way player looks like a franchise saver. So you guys know where to find the show. You guys know where to find us. The way today's show is going to go, I'm going to start with perspective because I think that's really important to keep in mind here. I'll get to that, obviously, here in a second. We're going to talk in the second segment about Kyle Kuzma. He was incredible. And I think that had a lot to do with the role that he was asked to play in the game last night. And then finally, we're going to talk about LeBron. There's always going to be a lot of stupidity regarding LeBron. But I do think that we're last night's game, or tonight's, if you guys are listening to this right away, I thought the game might have started to be the beginning of him just kind of saying, okay, enough with this coasting crap. We're going to need to start winning here eventually. I mean, this is a pretty rude introduction to the Western Conference that he's had with the Lakers. But again, more on that in a bit. Today's show is brought to you in part by MyBookie and by Metro Infinity. More on both of those partners here in a bit. Let's start, though, like I said, with some perspective about the game. If I would have told you heading into this season that the Lakers are going to play in Portland, they were going to play the Houston Rockets, and they were going to play the San Antonio Spurs, while they figured out all kinds of things about their roster, and while Portland loses an owner and has maybe the most emotional game that they'll play all year until we get into, you know, legitimate games with stakes. If I was to tell you that the Lakers were going to play the Houston Rockets, a team that is coming off of a season that ended in the Western Conference last year, and I don't think any Houston Rockets fan who thought that they maybe should or could have won a title last year would be insane. Yes, the team is not as good as it was last year, but that's still, they still have Chris Paul, they still have James Harden, they still have Clint Capella. All of those games finish close, like they haven't been blown out of any of them. Now, maybe some of the issues with the roster construction and the shooting and those things, like the fact that those are the reasons why the Lakers are losing this game or these games, maybe that the fact that some of our preconceived concerns about the Lakers are being confirmed at this point, like that's a whole nother thing altogether. But if I was to tell you that that was the situation, I think we would all take it, right? Or if obviously we'd prefer to win these games, but the fact that they're competing, given everything that's going on, I'll take it for now. Eventually, you need to start to see these wins actually start to happen. Eventually, the Lakers need to acquire a legitimate NBA player as a backup big. But for right now, the fact that they are in these games this early in the season with as much things have seemingly gone wrong. I mean, the defense is a disaster. Like they're laughably bad on defense. They can't stop anybody from doing what they want to do out there on a basketball court. And yet there they are at the end of all these games. In this case, last night going to overtime against San Antonio, well, that's at least a starting place. Now, if they lose Wednesday against a Phoenix Suns team that they should beat, then that's a different spot, right? That's where you have different perspective. But for right now, I'll take the competition up to a point, and. You know, where that point might be, that's hard to say right now. Obviously, my hope was to finish the end, you know, each kind of 10-game sample that we'll get early in the season. I'd like to finish all of these somewhere close to 500. Now, I don't think we're probably going to get there in these first 10 games because they started 0-3. I don't see any kind of, you know, five straight win kind of streak coming anytime soon. But just so we see how things are going right now, I'll take it. We're going to take a quick second here, and when we come back, I want to talk about Kyle Kuzma because I don't think his production was a coincidence. So we'll get to more of that here in a bit. But first, I want to talk to you guys about MyBookie. MyBookie has taught me, as much as anything, that the bets that I make are as important. It matters as much where I make those bets as who I'm making those bets on. Because at the end of the day, if you're making those bets and you're winning those bets and they aren't paying out, you can't get to your money. Well, then that's just theft at that point, and there's nothing you can really do to prevent it. But with MyBookie, I know that when I lay my money down, if I win that bet, I know I'm going to get my money back, and that's the whole point of everything, right? When you put money on these games. They have any kind of bet that you might be looking for. It's a really easy interface to use. If you're looking for a certain kind of bet, any kind of prop, whatever, they have those things for you as well. And look, sports are just a little bit more fun when you have a little bit extra on the game. It's now, if you have problems with it, obviously stay away. But for those who can, enhance the viewing experience, either with a bet with their friend or in this case, if you want to bet against the bookies at MyBookie, That's the best place to do it. So go to mybookie.ag, Google search MyBookie, enter the promo code LOCKEDON to activate this offer where you get 100% of your deposit, your first deposit up to $1,000 matched 100%. Again, they will match your first deposit up to $1,000 100%. That's an incredible deal. So again, go to mybookie.ag, enter the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get that money. MyBookie, where you play, you win, and you get paid. We're going to take another quick second here. When we come back, more on Kyle Kuzma. So Kyle Kuzma, at this point, is not a small ball five. I don't think that's a hot take. I don't think that's saying too much. Hashtag analysis. Kyle Kuzma is not a small ball five. And my concern with the experiment of trying to move him down here was always, what effect of banging down low with NBA centers is that going to have on his offensive game? And to this point, before last night's game against San Antonio, it was evident that he didn't necessarily have his game or his legs on the offensive side. And then you see him move to his more natural position because Brandon Ingram has been suspended will be suspended for the next four games. And you get to move and you get to see how you saw the natural kind of bounce that got Kyle Kuzma to be one of the better stories as a rookie last year, right? And he was able to get to the rim. He finished a lot better. Like, making threes, that's going to come and go over the course of a season because it's a further shot. But one of the things that I've been a little worried about with Kuzma throughout preseason and then into the early first couple games here was that he wasn't finishing at the rim at the rate that I would like to see. And if we were to try to find a reason and you would point to what might have changed from last year to this year, obviously added strength that he talked about isn't going to make him a worse finisher. I think that the change in role has really messed with his game overall. And the guys that he was playing with might have also messed up with the way the types of looks that he was getting. Now, the question here becomes, at what point do you value fit versus talent? I think Brandon Ingram is a more talented player, and this is just one game, mind you. So Kyle Kuzma could come in and stink it up against Phoenix next week. I don't think he will, but if he does, maybe you get some regression to the mean there. But as of right now, what we saw there was Kyle Kuzma not only gets to play more of his natural position with the group that he was playing with, but he also gets to focus on more of the spots that make him an efficient offensive player. Brandon Ingram is never going to be a spot-up shooter. It's just not going to happen, or it won't happen over the course of this season. I never want to say never, because you don't quite know what these things necessarily. But as of right now, I'm willing to say that over the course of this season, Kyle Kuzma will shoot better as a spot-up shooter than Brandon Ingram will, at a higher rate as well, in terms of quantity of shots. So that kind of thing matters. And given what you need out of your starters around LeBron, look, Lonzo Ball is a passive shooter. It needs to improve, mind you, but he has been hesitant to pull the trigger on some of these open three-pointers. JaVale McGee isn't going to stretch the floor anytime soon. If KCP continues to play, well, you may as well not have anybody out there based on some of the things that we've seen from him. And you need people out there who can spread the floor. And while KCP struggles, and given the other guys that are on the floor around LeBron, like, Kuzma shooting might make a little bit more sense than Ingram, even if Ingram is the more talented overall player. Now, how you decide how you stagger those minutes and all of that, that remains to be seen. But for right now, it's something worth monitoring while Ingram is suspended, how Kuzma looks next to LeBron. We'll see, right? We'll see. And it also, look, for everything that I just talked about offensively, the Lakers just gave up 143 points. Yes, they went to overtime, but that's a crap ton of points. They haven't been able to stop a nosebleed this season. And I wouldn't hold it against the coaching staff if they said, well, as much as Kuzma might offer on the offensive end, Brandon Ingram is a better defender, and at the end of the day, we aren't going to be able to get out and run if we don't get stops. And Ingram gives us a better chance at getting us stops. So that's kind of the give and take that you might have to decide on here between those two guys in the starting lineup. We'll see how they handle it. And again, I'm not going to completely overreact by saying that Kuzma needs to start based off of his one, albeit very impressive, game. I just think we need to take a little bit of time here and watch how things develop over the course of these next few games while Ingram is out and Kuzma has this opportunity. I want to, before we move on completely, talk about some decisions that I think can be made at this point. I think KCP, we've seen enough. Josh Hart is just a better player, period, right now. And I know that there's the clutch thing and there's the politics that Luke Walton has to navigate here, and Luke and LeBron might not like it all that much, but that change is coming, and the sooner that they make it, I think the better that they're going to be moving forward. And the other thing that I think we're going to see soon is Jonathan Williams. Look, Zubats got into the game and he was a disaster, and this was against a traditional big type lineup, right? LaMarcus Aldridge isn't going to beat you down the court. He's not going to beat you with quickness. Pau Gasol isn't going to beat you with quickness at this stage of his career. Zubats played 5 minutes, picked up five fouls. He was Travis Knight. It was incredible. So I think those two things, Zubats, I think, can be cut. I think we've seen enough from that. I'm all the way out on Zubats to that point. And with KCP, I think we've seen enough at this point to get Josh Hart in the lineup, in the starting lineup, and play a lot more minutes than KCP does. And we'll see how quickly those decisions made. But that's not a one game thing. Kuzma is a one game thing, a one very solid, really good performance that we saw from Kuzma, but it's a one game sample. Whereas KCP and Josh Hart, that started to become evident back in training camp, and then into preseason, and then now into the early NBA season. Like, this is not a new development that we've seen between those two guys. All right, we're going to take another quick second here, and when we come back, I want to talk about LeBron I'll spend a little bit of time on the last jumper that he took and the free throws, I guess. There was another play, actually, that frustrated me even a little bit more than both of those ones, so I'll get to that. But I do think the larger thing to keep an eye on has nothing to do with any of that, and I'll get to that here in a second. But first, I want to talk to you guys about Metro Infinity. they reached out to us. They're a local sponsor here. They're located at 821 East Central Avenue in Monrovia, California. They want to support. They're supporting not just Locked On Lakers, but they're supporting Locked On Clippers, Locked On Rams, Locked On Chargers, Locked On Angels. They really want to help Locked On Network. And if you're looking to buy a car and you're in that area, we should do whatever we possibly can to support sponsors and partners this way. So I want to talk to you about the experience of buying a car. It can be stressful. Having just purchased a car, it's you never really quite feel comfortable. But Metro Infinity wants to make sure that you are comfortable from step one of purchasing the car when you first walk onto the lot to the time that you eventually leave the lot, hopefully with a car. You can swing by their brand new multi-million-dollar facility and check out the amazing selection of new and used cars. They're the only dealer in California that is family-owned and have been in business for over 25 years. They're the number one volume dealer in California. So go check them out. And if you mention Locked On, they'll give you $500 off of your car purchase. That's right. You mention Locked On anything. And because they want to support the entire network the way that they have thrown their support behind us, you'll save $500 off of any car purchase. So go see him. You can give him a call at 626-599-7510 or visit metroinfinity.com. You can lease a new Infiniti Q50 3.0, luxury loaded with navigation, with $1,000 at $325 a month plus tax. That's an incredible deal. That's just one of the many deals that you have available to you there. So go check out our friends over there at Monrovia or Metro Infiniti in Monrovia. Give them a call, visit the website, let them know that Locked On anybody sent you, Locked On Lakers especially, if you would like to, and we'll move forward there. So one more quick second here, and we'll put a wrap on what was, while disappointing, a very exciting game. All right, so let's start here with LeBron. Pete and I have talked on a few occasions about the way that he has historically handled showing up in a situation. In Miami, it was a little different because he was immediately surrounded by Dwayne Wade and by Chris Bosh, right? And so with those guys, he kind of knew, all right, I can just trust these guys. We're going to try to hit the ground running immediately, even though they did start out a little slower. But in Cleveland, when he got back there after his time in Miami, he was very obviously taking a back seat and feeling out teammates to see who he could trust to do what. And look, I think we're starting to see, or we saw that very apparent over the course of these first few games. And, you know, the thing to keep an eye on is, when is he going to say, all right, I can't sit around. We can't lose this many games in a row. We're going to have to, at some point, start to turn things around. And me being the most impactful player, arguably in the sport or across all sports, really, when you think about it, it'll be interesting to see when he just kind of says, "All right, I know who I trust here. Let's try to get back to or figure out what we have to do to win together." And I thought, look, the first half of last night's game was about as poorly as you're going to see LeBron play. He just never looked comfortable out there. He wasn't attacking. He was floating on defense. He was just kind of there as much as LeBron James can possibly be. But in the second half, he very immediately entered the game and said, all right, that was bullcrap. That was not great, right? So I thought maybe, and it'd be interesting to see how this develops as a storyline moving forward, I wonder if maybe that was the starting point for him to say, we have to start winning games no matter what it takes, right? And if that takes me focusing on me and the things that I have done to be as successful as I have been to this point, well, then maybe we got to start moving towards that in the balance that they're trying to figure out together. Maybe that means that as much as he would like to help out his fellow clutch client in KCP, maybe at some point he says, look, man, this dude just doesn't have it right now. And you try to make, and you try to move forward in that respect. It'll be interesting. I'm not saying that I would predict it either way. I'm not even saying I hope to see it either way either. I think there's value in really figuring out which teammates are capable of what. It's just going to take time. And like I said at the very beginning of this podcast, it was always going to take time. It was always like anybody who entered the season thinking that the Lakers were just going to hit, they were going to be able to start the season on a winning streak and everything was going to be great. Like, that was just not very realistic. And given how tough the early slate is, given how many moving parts that the Lakers are trying to figure out at the same time, given how flawed this roster is. Like, Ivica Zubac isn't an NBA player. Michael Beasley hasn't been able to get all the way by a center, an opposing center, to get to the basket yet. And if he can't do that, then it's not worth playing him. Then you're just going small for the sake of going small there, right? And as much as I have harped on the Julius Randle thing and even the Brook Lopez thing, that's where, again, process has always kind of worried me with these Lakers, is that those guys just said when they hit free agency, they gave them a peace sign and they were like, all right, we're moving on. And the deals that they signed elsewhere were pretty telling in that respect, right? And so now that you have seen what somebody like Jonathan Williams, who really, like, you don't need a ton from him. All you need is, hey, be long. Hey, be active. Hey, just disrupt stuff as an offensive rebounder. Contest people at the rim and then ignite the break whenever you possibly can with a quick outlet. They aren't asking him to do extraordinary things. Now, had that been Julius Randle, had that been Brook Lopez, you can fairly and correctly ask for more out of those kinds of guys. But the Lakers can't get that from Zubac right now. They can't get that. They haven't gotten that from Michael Beasley so far. And they haven't gotten the things that you need to get from Michael Beasley for those matchups to work out in your favor. And so it'll be interesting to see how the Lakers handle either A, Jonathan Williams, if they think that he's legitimately the answer. I'm still skeptic, even though we saw him do some really cool things for the Lakers against San Antonio. I would still like to go with a little bit more predictable an option there, but at least you saw what that type of player can do to the rotation. Like, that's the point. Maybe not Jonathan Williams specifically, but that's the point that Pete and I and anybody with two IQ points that to rub together have been trying to stress when it comes to this center rotation, is that they needed to figure that out. And the fact that they didn't figure that out heading into the season, like, I want to know, if I was able to ask Magic Johnson a question, I would ask him, hey, how did you think this was going to be okay? And maybe that person is Mo Wagner when he comes back. I don't feel confident in predicting that from a rookie who hasn't played in months. But at least maybe while Jonathan Williams can figure things out and be the stopgap, maybe that gives Wagner time to grow into the role. But, you know, as LeBron might have found out last night, the Lakers don't have forever on these things. You don't want to dig yourself such a hole that you then have to force things as the season goes along. So that'll be interesting. That's the dynamic to watch moving forward. That'll do it, though, for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Again, brought to you guys by MyBookie and by Metro Infinity. Thanks to those guys for supporting us. Let's continue to support them. I'll be back at it. I'm going to talk to Pete tomorrow. Oh, funniest thing to see from the game tonight. It has to be that exchange from that was Josh Hart tiptoeing the baseline, throwing the ball ahead to Lord knows who. Look, at one point when Lonzo Ball tapped it to LeBron, and then LeBron finished the and one, I legitimately wondered for like half a second if Lonzo Ball was just at the scorer's bench and somehow fooled people into thinking he should be involved in that play. It was insane. It was incredible. Lakers fans, again, were incredible for the game. Hopefully, they'll start being paid off with a few wins here, starting with Wednesday against the Phoenix Suns. Have a great rest of your day, everybody, and try to stay positive. Try to laugh your way through this and ignore Twitter. It's not a great place.